to dance our way out of our constriction. Gonna be freaking up and down the hang-up alleyway. With the groove I only got, we shall all be moved. Ready or not, here we come. Getting down on the one which we believe in.
Hey. the hold back, nothing but the bomb. You can't stop us now.
Hey, welcome everyone. Back for another episode of Groove, a Swing Speaks right here on this network, Studio W, The Buzz, your global radio network. We circle this thing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with the finest in broadcasting found anywhere around the world. And I am happy I have my brother and also my groove brother here, Mr. Clayton Brown. He's on my right. Joining us shortly will be some swings. We have LaToya Yvette and also Tiffany Hilliard that's going to join us as well. And so we just want to start off with some good news, and then we're going to get into the main topic tonight, which happens to be the monster in the room, and that is domestic violence. Now, you guys know the gist of this program is to outline the great things that grooves and swings and Black Americans are doing all over the world, but also we have to point out some things that need some attention, some things that need to be corrected, some things that need to be addressed and little talked about. So we're going to talk about everything, okay? And hopefully we'll be able to help someone out there that's going through some struggles and some tribulations as far as violence is concerned, especially domestically. So let me do this. Let me turn on our cameras here. All right, so you see that we are live here on Groove Talk Swing, Groove Swing Speaks, rather. And I'm so proud of this broadcast because it is a spinoff of Groove Talk Radio that we started about 6 or 7 years ago back in Southern California. And so this time we want to incorporate our swing sisters and also brothers and sisters around the nation. So I'm going to kick – hey, Clayton.
Yes.
Don't let me hog the conversation, bro.
Good evening. Well, my brother, he tends to do that from time to time. But he's the talker of the family.
Turn up a little bit. Four.
I just want to introduce myself again. I've been on the air once before with my brother, William Brown. He's my oldest brother, who I dearly love and respect. And he happened to be my mentor in a lot of ways. But I'll tell you this, when you have a great brother or a great family member like this that you can rely on, keep them close to you. And later on during the segment, I want to talk about those things, checking on one another, the mental health, mental wellness, and also just keeping in connection with the good people around you. All right?
All right. Well, you know, I tell you what, thank you for that, man. I want to, like I said, address some things here. And so I pulled up something, some articles that's very, very interesting. And let's talk about, you guys know Mae Jemison? Mae, M-A-E, J-E-M-I-S-O-N. Did you know that she was the first Black woman admitted to the astronaut training program in 1987. And I'm just thinking for a little bit. 1987. It wasn't that long ago, folks. It wasn't that long ago. And you find out throughout history, so many things have been delayed or and or denied. Jameson boarded the space shuttle Endeavour. I think you guys remember that. She was born, let's see, when was she born? In 1956 as an American engineer, physician, and former NASA astronaut. In 1992, she became the first black woman to join the space program. Let's see. And there are so many, many, many others. Like I said, she was admitted in 1987, and in 92. There's more about her to talk about. One of my favorites, Shirley Chisholm, born in 1924, and she died in 2005. Now, if you guys remember, she became a household name after becoming the first black woman to be elected to the United States Congress. Let that sink in again, folks. Just amazing, amazing accomplishment. And she had one of these forces, or her presence, or her energy, Clayton. It was like a Martin Luther King type. When she spoke, you listened. You paid attention. That's how powerful Shirley Chisholm is. I mean, just a great, 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 great woman. Let's see. I'm going to read a little bit more about her because she was one of my favorites. Born in Brooklyn, New York, and like I said, in 1924, November the 30th, as a matter of fact, and she died in Ormond Beach, Florida. Okay. She received the Presidential Medal of Freedom Award. Ladies and gentlemen, you probably already know that that is the highest award given to a civilian. Okay. And she received that. I mean, just a powerhouse. I just absolutely love, this woman. What was she famous for? Congressman Shirley Anita St. Hill Chisholm was the first African American woman elected to Congress. Chisholm was, a founding member of the Congressional Black Caucus. There is not enough said about the Congressional Black Caucus. I'm impressed by the Congressional Black Caucus. Now, they go back, in their chambers, and they will discuss certain things. But see, you have to understand, in order to get anything passed in Congress, you need a two-thirds majority. And also, it depends on who is holding the majority.
That is correct.
The Speaker of the House is the one who decides what comes on the floor, which I think is absolutely crazy, because you can have the most progressive, positive, beneficial information, and we can see this happening right now, that can hit that floor. I mean, that can be presented. But it's up to that one person to decide whether he's going to bring it or not.
And how soon?
Repeat that.
And how soon?
And how soon, if it happens at all.
At all.
At all. And I think that is a travesty. That things need to be changed there. And it's all about politics. Ladies and gentlemen, it's who's pulling the purse strings. And then who suffers for it? You have to understand. There's all been it's just a whole thing here. It's divide and conquer. Okay. If you can cause chaos down here, the people who will really benefit, who are the 5%ers up there, guess what? They've done their job. They've got you fighting here. So the thing about it is, please pay attention to it. And getting back to my dear sister, she was a fighter. She was a firebrand. Oh my God.
She also ran for president.
She did. She did. Let's talk about, three of her accomplishments. She advocated for the end of the military draft and reduced defense spending. In 1970, she published her first book, Unbossed. And Unbought.
That's right. They not play with Shirley. They did not.
She was outstanding, man. And like you said, and entered several Democratic presidential primaries, receiving 151 delegate votes for the presidential nomination. Two important things, events of Shirley Chisholm's life. 1969 was one of the founding members of the Congressional Black Caucus. We talked about that. The only woman among founding members. 1970 was co-founder of the National Organization for Women. Now, that's the acronym is N-O-W. That's now January the 23rd, 1972. Chisholm was the first African-American president to run for Congress. That's man or woman. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to toss it over to Clayton right now because I'm telling you what, I just love Shirley Chisholm, and we need more Shirley Chisholms in this world. Brother, bring that mic a lot closer, man.
Well, my opinion is we have a lot of Shirley Chisholms in this world, and that's the reason why they are trying their best to silence our black women, because they know the power of your voices. Those sisters out there, mothers, aunts, grandmothers, they've always been the backbone of our communities. They knew the power of the black woman's voice.
That's
and
right.
That voice traveled far. I guarantee you each and every one on this network can relate to a story where their mother or their grandmother told them something that resonates to this day. They always had everybody's best interest at hand. They fought the fight when their brothers and their dads and their grandfathers wouldn't. The mothers and the black women, even Hispanic women, women of all colors, they were always the backbone. So what would men do? They would try their best to suppress that voice, even if they felt threatened. Their manhood was threatened. But I myself always cherished it, because what better way to learn than to learn from the one who cares from you for you the most?
Come on, brother.
You know, they always gonna tell you what's real. That's why we need to lift them up, keep them on the pedestal that they deserve to be on. I truly believe that. Because without our black women praying for us, on their knees, praying for us during the day and crying at night, wondering about their child, I have to give you everything that's in me. I do revere. I will put you up on every mountain that I have. Because the fact is, if it wasn't for you, the black woman, the Hispanic woman, the woman of color tribe, the Native American woman, keeping their child in their sights, a whole lot of us would be destroyed today.
You know, that's right. And encouraging, too. And one other thing, while you were speaking, I thought about, you take a bear cub or the lady bear, mess with her cub.
Well, you're in trouble.
How about the lion?
You're in trouble. Keep going.
Pick one. You're in trouble.
You are in trouble.
You don't do that. And the thing that really gets to me, because we're going to get to something here later in this a broadcast, because we're going to address domestic violence. Now, I know it happens on both sides, but this is not a both sides argument because it's not equal. Yes, yeah, so men get beat up by their women, okay? But it's not funny either. But there's few and far between on what really happens out here. Majority of, and I understand why some men, they don't report when they get beat up by a woman. They don't report that.
No, that's nothing to brag about. I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize. No, you know, see, you, you're joking with this. Well, I'm trying to get serious right now. But to get up here, sit up, hit up, not this happened to me, because it ain't going to happen, is you get hit up by the side of your head with a rolling pin, or you as a man go to work with knots on your head, and you have to tell the brothers, well, no, I fell in the driveway. I stumbled. And, you know, it was too early to get up, right? And I stumbled coming down the steps. Yeah. That don't work.
It does not.
No, they know. Especially if it happens more than once. So, there was a story. There's a story. Oh, I really don't mean to make light of this. I really don't. But look, you have to laugh sometimes to keep from crying. One of my panelists on the Boomerang Radio Show, Dr. Demery, I know you've heard him before, and he was a Navy chaplain, and he was talking about how one of his soldiers or Navy people, officers came on and used to come always bruised up, scratched up, knots on his head and things of that nature. And the thing about it was that he really didn't find out what was going on. Hey, Tiffany.
Hello.
Oh, wonderful talking. Oh, seeing you right now. Thank you so much. Tiffany is one of our beautiful swing sisters from the Raleigh grad chapter there in North Carolina. And so what we're talking about tonight is domestic violence, right? And before that, we were talking about the legendary Shirley Chisholm, because we also wanted to highlight black women that have changed the world. So, boy, I know you that you would have enjoyed that. Also, I've got some ideas off air, because Tiffany has a skill and a vocation that is fascinating. She's in the world of arts and entertainment, but I'm going to let her go on and tell us a little bit more about that after we finish this. So right now we were talking about domestic violence, and it happens on both ends, men and women. But, you know, you can't say, well, it's equal, because it is absolutely not. We understand that men, it's underreported with men, because no dude wants to be around any of his peers and or work or anything and show themselves as being weak. Okay, so it's not reported. But however, even with the underreporting, I know there is a disparaging difference. More women are being violated. I'm going to put my reputation online and saying more women are being violated than men out here in this world. I believe that. I absolutely believe that. And so, but we were talking about men this time. And so we have a gentleman by the name of Dr. Demery, who comes to my Boomerang Radio Show, but he was a Navy chaplain, and he was talking about how one of his soldiers would come in all bruised up, beat up, knotted, his head was knotted, knotted up. And it's not funny. I'm sorry. And so he found out one day what was happening. One day, this, Navy, officer, wife's officer, I mean, he came on, and she was demanding to see him, okay? And you could tell that this was a violent woman. They would not let her on the ship, because it was reported that she was beating him with a rolling pin, okay? Mm-hmm. And he wouldn't report it, but they would not let him on. But on a more serious note, we were talking about how domestic violence is plaguing our society. Before we get into that, I want you to tell the audience, who is Tiffany Hilliard, and what organization you belong to, and why are you here tonight?
Okay, hello everyone. Greetings, my brothers and all my sisters. So I am a member of Raleigh Grad. I went over in fall 2011 under my sweet mother. She was the late and great Cheryl Cornegay. And what I do is I have my BA. I got my BA degree in 2016. I got it in digital filmmaking, and I am a writer, more so like a screenwriter. I've also, I didn't share last time, but last year, I met up with a gentleman in Florida, in West Palm Beach, actually, and I'm working on, I started working on his autobiography. And so that is one of the most recent works, that I have done. And I am currently, also working on a holiday, Christmas film script, something that I wrote a couple of years ago that I'm going to, be revising. And so, yeah, that's where I am right now.
You know, I'm so happy that you're here because, matter of fact, we were speaking off air earlier, and I was telling you about another platform that I have, which is called Cultural Excellence. Cultural mm-hmm. excellence in music, art, entertainment. Also, we include business and education, but you fit right into that, and I had invited you before to come on that network because it fits right into what we're doing. That's on Wednesday nights. And it's at 8:15 p.m. On the East Coast and 5:15 on the West. Also, what we like to do here with Groove Swing Speaks is to connect the dots around the globe. And we want to know, I don't care if you're in Washington State or you in Florida or you in an upper southeast or in the lower southwest. We want any groove, any swing, or outside of the country to come on, share your experience, because I will guarantee you someone out there that's listening to this broadcast will be inspired. I already know this is our fourth segment. And I think I don't know whether I mentioned to you or with this rock earlier that I checked on just one of my social media pages from last week. And we have about six that we, operate, along with the app. Apps rather, and I'll give that information out later, Apple and Android. We're also on Apple CarPlay, Google Play, Alexa, the website, ladies and gentlemen, which happens to be studiow.buzz, and I'm sharing that with you because if you miss part of this program and you find it interesting, you want to hear it again or share it with a friend, then go to the website, studiow.buzz, and that can be heard or listened to globally. It will be up on the website in 24 hours. Tiffany, I've got to ask you, not sure whether you know anyone or have experienced it or anything about domestic violence as far as, I don't know what your experience is. Perhaps you can say something to some of these young ladies that think that they can't escape this monster, escape this tragic thing that they're going through. And I call it tragic because it can end up in a tragedy. It is a very serious thing. We talk about a lot of good things that we are doing in our community, but we also need to address some things that need to be fixed. So, I mean, I don't think that you can really call yourself on your way to being successful if you don't address the other issues that's plaguing us. I would love to have your take.
Yeah, I can speak more so from a different angle in regards to this, because I've had a male relative that was a victim of domestic abuse where I had to call the police, and my family had to kind of get involved, so to speak. And, I didn't see it all. And, but I saw her at the time when it happened. I saw her being the aggressor. And it comes to my knowledge that it was not the first time that the police were called. Mm-hmm. But I remember that particular time I called, and it was just And of course, like, no charges, you know, my male relative, they didn't press any charges. And that's something that I wanted to kind of point out. Like what you just mentioned, that most guys, they will not press charges. I know I have a coworker, a male coworker, and he told me one of his exes had put hands on him, and he's light skinned, and he called the police. And when the police had came to where they were, he said he didn't want to press charges. He said, I just want to get my stuff and I just want to leave. Like, they could tell that she was the aggressor, because, like I said, they could see the marks on him, and they was like, just say the word and we'll, you know, arrest her. And he was like, no, I just want to get my stuff. I just want to go. So that's something that I really kind of want to talk about more so, because, you know, not devaluing women that are or that have been domestically abused, but men, like a lot of guys that we probably know probably have gotten their hands put on, you know, somebody female, and they just never said anything.
Right.
And so I do want to say, like, if you guys are listening, and if someone has, you know, even though it's in the past, just say something like, hey man, this happened to me a long time ago. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're not going to look at you as being weak, you know, because at the end of the day, you're a human being like everybody else. And, but it needs to be put out there so that the next person doesn't feel as though they can't share. You know what I mean?
I do.
It's like a lot of resources out here, for people that have been in that situation, and maybe they've gotten their own personal healing. You know what I'm saying? And that's all well and good. But it's unfortunate on both ends. You know what I mean? It's really unfortunate that and I'm not gonna lie to you. I've been one that put my hands on somebody too. I will admit it openly. You know, I'm not proud of it. You know, I thought I did it because I thought, you know, even though they were 6'5" and, you know, saying whatever, that, you know, they're not gonna do anything. However, it was still wrong of me. You know what I mean? Because people, they get heated in their emotions and stuff. And I don't want anybody to think, oh, wow, well, she didn't know. Like, that was my past. You know what I'm saying? We all do stupid stuff. We all say stupid stuff when we get heated in a situation. And I just want to say, it's never right to put your hands on anybody. Period. I don't care how mad you be. Or whatever, like, if you gotta hit your own car, hit your own car. Don't put your hands on somebody because you can catch a charge, you know? So, just, you know, it's easier said than done, and I get it. But, you know, you have to think about the aftermath, because not only are you hurting that person, but you're probably also hurting your own family. Cause now you gotta bring them through it. Now they gotta come to the courthouse and see you and all this. It's just unnecessary. It's unnecessary drama. It's unnecessary monies that possibly got to be paid out. It's unnecessary stuff that may go on a record. It's just unnecessary. So, yeah, that's just my little spiel.
And, no, that's,
you know,
okay.
Even though I apologize to the guy, I apologize to all men. You know what I'm saying? Even though I didn't put my hands on you, I apologize, you know, and I really do mean that.
Well, you know, I tell you what, that is, hey, Rock, she said for sure. Now, absolutely, there's no question about it. And you know, the thing about, there's also, oh boy, Robert Hicks, listen to the show. I want to say, if people are in crisis from domestic violence, contact 1-800-799-SAFE. 1-800, and we have more information to share with you also throughout the broadcast. But one contact right now, jot it down, 1-800-799-SAFE. That's 1-800-799-7233. 1-800-799-7233 for the National Domestic Hotline. Or www.thehotline.org, www.thehotline.org. Org. Well said, Tiffany. You're 100% correct, man or woman. No one should put their hands on anyone. That hasn't happened to me, but there was a threat that it would happen to me one time. And so I told this date that I was on that it was over. Right then.
Yeah.
Right then on the spot.
You should have.
Oh, yeah. We were in a restaurant, and I'm all... Anyone who goes out with me, I don't care, some of my fellas or any females that you go out with, I have fun when I'm out. As a matter of fact, I'm not going out unless I intend to have fun, right? So I play around with everybody. I play around with waitresses, waiters, and everybody. And this one insecure person just felt that I was flirting with the waitress, which I was not. I'm several miles out of town, and there's no way I was going to revisit this place. I just happened, you know. And so I'm just friendly like that, but some people take your friendliness to being flirtatious.
That's true.
Yeah. But see, that goes along with their own, bring your mic closer, brother, their own insecurities. So we have to realize also, and sometimes, I mean, you're already in a relationship, so if you're in that type of situation, find a way out. If they're abusive to you, find a way out. Some choose to stay in those relationships, and we have to talk about that a little bit. Why? Is there a dependence on this person? If I leave, where am I going to go? If I leave, what am I, where's my money coming from? Where are the things that I need? You know, well, if you stay, you might die. So, or keep living a life of trauma. And so we have to, and then it could be a situation. And the reason why I'm speaking so about this is because I've done many, 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 many shows on this very topic. So when Latoya said, let's talk about domestic violence, I said, let's talk about it. And one day, and this is not going to be the last time you hear this. We might have a part two next week because this is something that needs to be fixed. Yeah. You know, it's kind of like, how are you going to build a structure or a building or a piece of machinery where you know there's a flaw in that machinery? How is it going to work properly? And the same thing goes on with a family or any other thing, anything, or a workplace. If you have a cancer in that particular workplace, it's not going to function properly. It cannot.
But you know, the key is you cannot fix it. I cannot fix it.
Ooh.
A person must have the willingness to want to be fixed. And I commend the sister for sharing her story. And you said that you apologized to each and every one of us, and I commend you for that because you didn't have to do that. I appreciate what you said. But you showed a willingness to forgive and to take ownership. And you said, I'm willing to change from that point going forward. So that's the first start, letting everybody know that I'm willing to change. I'm not going to be that same person I was when I committed that. So I commend you for that, sister. Each and every one of us have to do some soul searching. Where are we? Where are we willing to go? What is our plan? What is my purpose? And I believe if you follow what your purpose is, you're going to always be okay. Because you was God created and you was wonderfully made. That means that your purpose was already subject to go forward, to be the best one you can possibly be. We tend to go off the rails sometimes. And when we go off the rails, we have to pay the price for going off that rail. And I hope and pray to myself every day I don't be the person I was back then. So I'm willing to change each and every day.
You know, I tell you, I think well put, because many of us, we tend to live in the past. And I say we because sometimes I have to say, wait a minute, hold it. That happened. Last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago.
Then where's your future?
if you continue to stay in the past?
That is a great question there.
Where are you looking? You're turning around looking behind you?
You know, that is absolutely incredible. And this is what we have to pay attention to. So, yeah, let's say, hey, that's who I was.
That's who I was.
That's a whole different person. And that's called maturity.
Yeah.
Because we learn things even in childhood. And our formidable years were the ages 1 to 5, 1 to 3, right in there. That's when that gray matter is formulating and taking on things, you know, like a sponge. And we tend to grow up based on our environment, you know? And so DNA doesn't only start in the womb. DNA is also developed afterwards. And it has a lot to do with your environment, your surroundings, your education, who's influencing you, you see. And so we have to really understand that life is a sacred and a precious thing. And it's all about learning. And so if I made a mistake in the past, get up, apologize. Do whatever you can to make amends and make that thing right.
And don't repeat it.
And don't repeat it. So, what I hear, the stories that I hear, as far as domestic violence is concerned, is that, you know, well, he said that he would never do it again. You know, baby, I'm sorry. It'll never happen again. But listen to the buzzwords there. Well, number one, after that happens, I'm out anyway, the first time. Okay, I'm out. But now, if you choose to stay, listen to the buzzwords. But I wouldn't have done it if you hadn't done this.
No.
See? Is that an apology, Tiffany? Is that an apology? I wouldn't have done it if you didn't. You made me do it, so to speak. You know? You know I lose my temper. What? Run. The only word that comes to mind right now is run. Please run. And so again, let me give out that hotline number. That's 800-799-SAFE, 800-799-SAFE, 800-799-7233. And so let's talk about some, I had some other things pulled up here regarding the cause and effects, because I'm not going to let this go. And I am so serious about this that I'm almost sure, Tiffany, that we're going to have a part two. We need to have a part two on this because it's such an important thing. Like I said, if you don't fix what's broken, there's no way in the world that you can achieve to the fullest what you're really, really, really looking for. Okay. Okay.
But if you don't fix what's broken, again, you have to have the mindset and the willingness to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Because a lot of people, their mindset is, you know, is not there. Is somewhere else. So I mean, I don't know what you're about to go into, but if I may just put this in real quick,
anything you want.
Think domestic abuse starts mentally and verbally.
It does.
And then it escalates. You know what I mean?
I know exactly.
I know someone. Right now, a male friend of mine, he's married, and to my knowledge, his wife never put hands on him, but he tells me all the time, like, they're mentally and verbally abusive towards him. And he stays, you know what I'm saying? I mean, he's even talked to me about being suicidal at one point.
Wow.
Because of the, you know, the trauma, the depression, you know what I'm saying, that he deals with. And it starts that way. So people, guys, women, whoever, if it starts off mentally and verbally, it's a possibility that it could escalate. Not saying that every case is like that, because it's not. Because some people are just mental or verbal abusers, and that's it. But even then, you don't need to stay there either. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You don't need to stay in that situation. And I think a lot of people, they stay there because
They may have, it's familiar spirits. They're familiar with that trauma. It's just a different face. So maybe their parents was mentally or verbally abusive towards them. Oh, they used to it. So it ain't up for them to stay.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know, you said something that is profound, because we underrate the verbal abuse. Mm-hmm. Look, I've said this over and over again. The dumbest thing that we ever learned growing up is sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt. That's a lie. Yes, I'm going to tell you, people have gotten killed over words.
Mm-hmm.
Clayton, you've been in the military. And what starts most wars is somebody says something.
It's words.
Words. Folks, people have gotten killed over words.
Mm-hmm.
You have no idea. When you attack somebody verbally, call somebody the wrong word.
Yeah.
Say the wrong word in the wrong place, and I'll guarantee you it's not going to work out good for you. Okay? Now, keep in mind, prior to that, nothing physical happened, did it? Nothing physical happened, did it, before that. But you say the wrong thing. You can tear someone down, or you can build them up with words. And that is a fact, because...
That is correct. That tongue is powerful.
Isn't it?
It's very powerful. Mm-hmm. Very.
And I believe somewhere in the Bible it said...
Oh, yeah.
That tongue is like a sword, right?
It speaks with that tongue.
It's like a sword. You can hurt somebody really, really badly with your words, folks. And we need to really start understanding that. And over the last few years or so, and I'm not going to bring politics or anything like this, but have you noticed how words have been so destructive in the fabric of this nation? Clayton, you and I, we talk off and off air.
Yes.
On many different things, right?
That's correct.
And we talk about the state of the union. We talk about the state of society. We talk about the things. Oh, Mill said, my son, the tongue is that liquid sword.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you, it is a powerful thing. And until we start realizing that, okay? And you would talk to people who are the offenders, and they'll say, but why are you upset? Okay. I said what was on my mind. I always speak my mind. Well, sometimes
you don't have to do that.
Speak your mind. And then if you speak your mind and then you're spewing falsities or non-truths or something that's destructive, come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
What amazes me? We can send a man to the moon. You're talking about technology that is mind blowing, and you can figure out how to do all of these things. I'm talking about, if you take any invention, I mean, you can talk to your car and it'll start driving. Some of these cars are here. You can do practically anything, but you can't figure out how to get along, how to unite.
Mm-hmm.
You can call all these things into play, Clayton.
The thing is, you was talking apples and oranges, because you're talking technology as opposed to man.
Yeah.
You talk about nature and nurture. You know, something is learned and the other thing is naturally in you.
Yeah.
Some people is just designed that way until they find out that doesn't work well for me, so I better change my attitude.
Yeah,
So it's all about, to me, what kind of value do you put on yourself?
Right. Right.
You know what I'm saying? If I'm going to be the kind of guy that I want to be saying, I'm proud of being me.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to act like me. I'm going to act with the dignity of treating people the way they're supposed to be treated, first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
I have to build my character.
Right. I'm saying that
to be the value that I want it to be. You can't put a dollar figure on that.
That's exactly right. And because you choose to be that person.
That's right.
This is what we're trying to get to, because there are not a lot of Claytons out here in the world. There's not a lot of Tiffany's out here in the world. There's not a lot of other great people out in this world that know what you're saying is right. And then you have to ask yourself the question, why? Are they so weak in their own minds that they feel they need to dominate by putting someone else down? Okay. And we know that to be, because you take a narcissist, for instance. Nothing matters but them. Okay. They don't believe in wrong. Them doing wrong. They don't believe in that. And so there is a deep psychosis there that is a issue. And we're going to get some mental health people on. Tiffany, I promise you, we're going to get, and then you might want, I don't know, you may even have some plays that you've written about this or some, something that, and that's right. You and I need to get together on some things anyway. We talked about collaborating on some things, and, we'll talk about that off air. But what I want to get to, I just pulled up something not too long ago. Domestic violence causes worsen. Please underline that. Psychological and physical health. So, let's talk about this a little bit. Domestic violence on a non-violent but verbal, how could that cause, and including that, how could that cause physical health? I mean, problems, right? Decreased quality of life, decreased productivity, and in some cases, mortality. Domestic and family violence can be difficult to identify. Many cases are not reported to health professionals or legal authorities. We talked about that again, because a lot of times when the cops show up, one party doesn't want to press charges. And I've seen that happen on both sides, where the man or the woman refused to press charges. I mean, what are the causes and effects of violence? Researchers have examined multiple factors within a person may contribute to violence, including genetic predisposition. Well, let's go back to that. We're going to talk about that too. Genetic predisposition. Mm-hmm. Neurochemical abnormalities. Well, you know, when you talk about, hey, somebody's not right in the brain, you know, we know some people out here, hey, that cat or that woman is not right. I don't care how good they look on the outside, but some on the inside, something is not right. Mm-hmm. Our bodies are made up of chemicals, folks. Made up of chemicals. And if your chemical, you know, you can get a bad drug or a good drug. If your mind is made up of bad drugs, you're going to have bad results. And I mean about that. Think about how, when those endorphins kick in, how do you feel when you're happy? When you're laughing? Conversely, how does it feel when those drugs make you sad? I'm talking about not the drugs that, I'm not talking about anything that you're ingesting. I'm talking about your natural makeup. Our body is made up of drugs and depends on our mood, which one kicks in. That's why I love music. Mm-hmm. I love laughter. I love hanging around great people, and I just great conversation.
I call it my spirit.
Okay. Oh, hey.
You're right on point.
Please continue.
Because when I get into that spirit of self-worth and being encouraged and being enlightened, and knowing that this is my path, this is what I'm supposed to be doing today, nothing can stop me.
That's right.
Because I want to go out there and serve and do what I'm supposed to do for the common good, for everybody. And when they're okay, I know I'm going to be okay. Right. Because I don't have to worry about them coming at me.
I love it.
Because anybody that has that spirit of unselfishness, that they care about the person next to them, their neighbor,
mm-hmm.
Especially if they're in their same household, You do what's right. You learn. You learn what they desire, and you support that. You let them know that I'm going to take care of that for you if I can help you.
That's right.
That way you're happy, and then everybody in the house is getting along, can laugh and joke, like you said, laughter. Being joyous. Who do not want that?
Absolutely.
That would be crazy to walk around your own home and you're miserable or anywhere else. I choose not.
Absolutely.
That's why when we have these conversations, my brother, we always talking about, don't let all that toxic stuff get into your head, because it's designed to destroy you and mess your day up.
Yes,
I am not going to allow that to happen to me anymore. I did that. And most of us that was in the sound of my voice probably had that same experience. Turn themselves apart before they even had a chance. Live your life.
I couldn't agree more. You know, like I said, Tiffany, earlier, this gentleman next to me, we grew up together. Not only, and I was so proud when he, I pledged Groove at Virginia Union, and a few years later, he pledged Groove at Virginia State. And I was so proud that he became a Groove. And I'm even prouder of the man that he is. And he and I, not only we're blood brothers, we're Groove brothers, we also talk often. And we talk about these various things here. And I know that he supports me. He knows I support him. And he does everything to uplift me. He listens to my radio broadcast. If I've done well, he tells me. If I didn't do well, he'll tell me that as well. And you know what? I don't have a problem with it.
I really don't have a problem.
I need to know that.
I ask for it.
I need to know that. I don't want any false flattery. If I done good, let me know I done good.
That's right.
If I done bad, let me know I done bad. So, but I'm serious about this. And if we can, as people, realize and accept the fact that we've screwed up, or we made a mistake. I was thinking about this earlier today, Tiffany. And I'm going to ask you a question. Including the family members, do you know anyone that obviously they messed up, but they refused to take responsibility and admit that they are wrong?
Of course.
You said, of course. And it goes deeper than that, because think about this, and you can talk and elaborate any way you want. If you refuse to take responsibility, what does that say about the life that you're living? What does that really say? Because, shucks, I mess up a lot. I try not to, and I try not to do the same thing over and over again. But I'm going to tell you something to you, Tiffany, Clayton, and to my global audience. I am not afraid to say I messed up and I'm sorry. Folks, do you know what that would do for your mental health? Do you know what that would do for your psyche? Because it will free you up. It will free you up. And it's like a lot of people say, forgiveness is not for them, it's for you, okay? I'm going to take it a step further. If you admit that you made mistakes, it's definitely for you, okay? Because you are free. You don't have to cover up. You don't have to explain your way out. You don't have to do any of those things. So a lot of our mental deficiencies, we bring them on, and I'm saying we collectively, as a global audience, we bring that on ourselves. We put too much pressure on ourselves. And if you can admit, I was wrong, and mean it sincerely. And I'm not talking about that guy that comes in that house, or that woman could have come back in that house, say, yeah, baby, I'm sorry. And then next week, you got a rolling pin up against your head. Well, I don't think that you really bought your own apology. I don't think you meant your own apology. Tiffany, I would love to have your take on this.
Yeah, I want to hit a few things, kind of piggyback off of what Clayton said first, is that, because we kind of have mentioned, you have mentioned about what this does to us, you know, physically, and it all ties in together, I believe, is that especially verbal abuse. You know, I'm a spiritual person. I'm a Christian. I admit that.
Me too.
So when I say this, you know, a lot of you may have heard it before, maybe not, but it's a scripture that says life and death is in the power of the tongue.
Right.
And I believe, even if it wasn't a scripture, I believe that's just, that no matter true. What your belief is, that's just worldwide.
Yes.
Life and death is in the power of the tongue. So whatever you say, that's what it's going to be. So, and I think, what comes out of a person, it says that, I'm kind of paraphrasing, it's like, it's not what goes in a person that makes them who they are, it's what comes out of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So the more negative that a person speaks, that's, it's showing you who they are.
That's
like
right.
they're roots. You know what I'm saying? Not saying that nothing good never comes out, but if most of what you say comes out of your mouth is negative,
that is true.
That means you have a negative mentality.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and
I do.
So it's also opposite of positive. Like if you know a person that always, you know, so joyful, so bubbly, so, you know, kind hearted, they're always speaking, you know. Hey, how you doing? Whatever, whatever. That means that more than likely they are a positive person. Now, that is not to say that people don't put on facades.
Right.
So, I mean, that's, ooh, and that's something else too.
That's deep.
Cause a lot of people can put on facades. You can have a person, that, you know, is nice, you know, they speak, hey, how you doing? Whatever, whatever. And then behind closed doors, there's somebody else.
I couldn't agree with you more.
That, yeah, we know that there are people like that that exist. And I would go to say that's when you then have to have, and I hate if it sounds spiritual, whatever, but it is what it is.
That's
it. You then have to have a discernment or a discerning spirit.
That's true.
You have to be able to pick up, okay, some seems a little off, like, you know, and, you know, that's not saying that's true for everybody, but you just got to be aware of your surroundings. You got to be aware of the people that, you know, you surround yourself with.
That's so true.
And, you know, I again, it's like, and I'm sorry, you had, you know, I kind of went off on a tangent.
No, you're fine.
You don't need to apologize.
You're fine. I'm enjoying your dialogue with us, and I hope that the audience is picking up on everything that we're saying, folks, because it is so important. Sister, please continue.
Yeah, so basically, because we was talking about, I know where I wanted to get to, because we was talking about the mortality rate and how that affects us physically. So, and you asked me if I know people personally, and yes, I do. And what I can say is that people that are negative for the most part, they tend to get sick with something. I don't know if y'all ever seen that, but they tend to get sick with something. If it ain't inflammation in the body, fluid in the body, they end up having, and I'm not talking about stuff that's just like genetics, because we do know that some stuff are genetics, but I'm talking about, you know, they end up having heart attacks, or they end up,
yeah, that's
you know what I'm saying? with certain health issues, because they decide to keep a negative mindset, they decide to hold on to grudges. That's one thing too. That's another thing,
that
y'all.
Is true.
Y'all need to stop holding on to grudges, because they don't do anything but make y'all sick. And it ends up decreasing your lifespan.
Yes. You're absolutely right, sister, because that spiritual mind, that is so important to your health.
Yep.
A lot of people look at the